Welcome to Art Glider. Join your favorite art curators as we chat with all kinds of people in the art, culture, and NFT space. Welcome to today's episode of Art Glider, where we will be deep diving into what it means to be an art consultant and why it is so important. I will be talking to Art Glider's founder and wizard of lightbulb moments, Amelia Colliver. Amelia has been working across the full spectrum of the art world for over 18 years, spanning digital strategy development, curatorial practice, facilitation, commissioning, project management, implementation, and installation. Her entrepreneurial spirit has seen her develop three successful arts and culture businesses in Australia, all with a strong vision to create a sense of place through arts and culture. Amelia has written a book titled Making Art Matter and has her second book coming out in October this year. Most recently, Amelia has launched Sugar Glider Digital, a curated digital art platform and bespoke commissioning service. Her experience, passion, and influence in the sector sees her sitting on a number of board and advisory committee positions, while her commitment to social and environmental governance with B Corp certification has seen her support over $1.4 million into the creative community. So, Amelia, welcome.
Hello. Thanks for being here, Claire.
Yeah, well, we've been working together for about a year now. I joined the art pharmacy team and I've just love what we do and being an art consultant. And I thought we could start off by briefly explaining what you do as an art consultant.
Oh, this is a very good question. So art consultant is anything to do with arts and culture and artists. And I really look at myself as a placemaker and the way that art can sit in the environment internally, interior, externally, and within your corporate collections, outside, inside, anything to do with art, basically. So, we don't just specialise, I guess. It's a niche in art, but it's
yes.
How far can we go?
Exactly. I get clients just come to us, and if anything arts and culture, we just say, yeah, all right. It's a bit like that. So can you explain a typical day in the life of being the director of an art consulting?
Well, there's six of us all together now, so we're in a busy office in St. Peter's, and you may hear some drilling because it is an industrial site here. And we're on top of Sabotage Motorcycles, which is vintage motorcycles, so it's a bit greasy but a bit fun actually. So what do we do every day? Well, there's just so much, responding to artists. I don't really do that. That's more your job now, Claire. Mm-hmm. But like opportunities, preparing for panels, events, thinking about my book. I'm doing the 5 a.m. club, so I do get up at 5 a.m. to get through my vast email response, because I've got two emails going now with Sugar Glider. that's a lot. Generally talking to clients, looking over proposals, making sure that what we're delivering is what the client is expecting. We do a lot of weekly WIPs, so work in progress, where we're at on each project. What I think is what's may go wrong, like just alarm bells, where the artist is sitting on that, and clients as well, just timelines. I mean, really, I almost could say I'm a project manager, to be honest with you, because we're just project managing art projects, basically.
Yeah. And all the different projects, they're all in different stages, as you said, kind of along their lifetime. Some are at that beginning, initial, real creative strategy stage. Others are at, okay, we're getting our high vis on and we're going into site. And they're all kind of, they're different stages. So I think that's what's really great about it is no 2 days are the same. It's always so different. So why don't we chat a little bit more about who our clients are, our partners, what kind of projects we work with?
I always talk about my clients as marriage clients. I love marriage clients. We want to be married to them for a long time. That's what we're always hoping for. It doesn't always happen like that. And in my book, in the second book that's coming out, I talk about you've got the boyfriend and then the flings, I guess. We're always trying to find the marriage clients that really understand our process, really understand that we're the subject matter experts on art and how, how we can support artists out there. I think that's a really big one. So our clients are really council, government, corporates, anyone in that, corporate meaning anyone in the city, We also work with regional councils a lot at the moment. We're doing a lot of tenders that have come out, which has been really fun. We're doing working on a hospital up in Lismore Hospital at the moment, which is quite interesting. So, and obviously the different kinds of corporate government do have different procedures. So that's one thing that we're having to get our head around all the time, is that different accounting systems, legal firms, yeah, it's a lot, and you know, how they deliver projects. So it's actually a lot more. It's very business orientated. To be honest with you, it's
when you say business oriented, you mean like businesses that want art in their business somehow, their day to day, or projects, or they're in their buildings. So they've come to you and they've said, "We need art to do a certain thing."
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And usually, sometimes we're like one of 50 consultants. So if you're working on a master plan development. For instance, we worked on Marrickville Metro, the redevelopment of that, with the council, Inner West Council, and the architect, and like a super fund, and they're always fun to work with because they're quite complex. Because you know, it's not just anyone's money; it's institutional money. So they have to have clear processes of how you work. And I worked on that for about 4 years, just turning up and making sure who the artists were, looking at their concepts, you know, pushing the artists, selecting artists within the committee. Some projects can last 1 year up to 3-4 years. It really, really depends. Like, obviously, like hotels, again, worked on hotels, and they usually are a long lead time. So, you know, up to a year talking to them, and then on delivery can take up to 2 years. So, yeah, it's a long time, the projects that we work on, but usually it's one project and you finish and then you move on to the next project, so which is, you know, quite exciting as well.
Yeah. I think people don't generally think about projects when it comes to art. They generally think about art as something that you see at a gallery. Mm. It's something that you go and someone sort of like curated a body of artwork and you go and you view it and then you leave. And that's sort of how most people consume art on a day-to-day basis. So I think that what Art Pharmacy does and why art consultancy is really important is because you're actually implementing art in more places that are sort of every day with you thinking about how can art activate public space, how can art activate an office space. So it's like when you said you worked on Marrickville Metro, you said that you worked with other consultants. So when a project runs, what other consultants would be on that job? There's like the interior designer, there's the architect, there's all these things, and they're all taking, there's the engineer, they're taking care of all the different aspects of how a project comes together, and you're one of those consultants, right?
Correct.
So you work amongst a kind of greater objective to create a project, and you take care and you specialise in the art consultancy.
I think to that point as well, it's so important to all work together, all those different people, because it creates a holistic new development or office collection or whatever it is that if we're talking to the interior designer, we need to make sure the art works with that or the landscaping. It all has to fit together. Mm. And that's one of the key things we do, is just figuring out how it's all going to work and mold together to create a really like holistic experience, because that's what it's all about. And I think another thing we do is actually help people to realize the potential art can have to just be more than, as you said, a sort of gallery.
In a gallery, yeah.
It has the potential to, you know, redefine space or, you know, speak to a brand. It can do so many things. So we help clients, we help and people realize that.
Yeah, I think when people think about, like, I know who designed this space and I know the architect of that project and I know the landscape architect, but it's often maybe taken for granted like why and how the art of that space came to be there. Like an art consultancy is responsible for thinking about what's the best art for this space and who's the best artist. And the other thing that Art Pharmacy does is actually project manage it. So you actually work directly with the artist and you work with them on the commission, or you oversee kind of how their process is, and then you're part of the implementation and installation of it as well. So there's all this like background to why and how art comes to be in our spaces, and really you guys are the people that are behind it, and people often don't think about that. Like, who chose this? How did this artwork come here? It's because you guys have this wonderful experience and knowledge and relationships with artists and you make these things happen.
I know, we're very lucky actually. I do love what we do every day. I do get up and I think, oh gosh, this is a great job. Because the thing is about, if you think about what you mentioned about the artwork in the gallery, what I actually realised was when I've been a part of the MCA Young Ambassadors for a long time and the Biennale, and I remember turning up to these events and then realising actually it's like maybe 2% or 3% of the population really just hang out in these places. And I was like, but how can I take art into the everyday? Like, I want to see art in the everyday. And that's what really, I suppose, one of our mantra is, and our mission is to see art everywhere, and it should be everywhere, and it should be, I would love personally, my feeling is the way that, you know, we've all gone through COVID, and I would just want to see a more colourful city and more vibrant city and be inspired. And artists really do that. I really always say when an artist paints or when they make work, it really is a reflection of their soul. So by them working with them, it's, you know, putting their, I suppose, their souls around the city in a way, you know.
Yeah. Do you see that as the main objective of art? Like, what do you think art does for a city?
Yeah, I mean, like that, really. Like, we wonder why our cities, so all of them, I mean, really in Australia, and I'm just about to head off to America. I feel like there's more philanthropic overseas, and I lived in London and did my degree over there. I think it's, you just have to look at the, you know, these magazines, these real estate magazines, you know, all over Australia. You open it up and there's always these $10, $20 million properties, and where's the art? It's like this cheap stuff. It's just actually quite embarrassing.
So you think that budgets, like adequate budgets, are not addressed or not allocated to art?
Yes, that's right. And also when you mention emerging artists, they always think, great, cheap. It's like, no, it's not cheap. Like, this is an art, you know, as I said, mentioned before, when you're working with the projects we're working on is sometimes up to a year, 2, 3 years, 4 years, and you think about the artist's time that's going into this as well. So, I think, look, budget's a really interesting subject. We could probably just have a podcast just on budget, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I think speaking to that, the importance of, like, what art brings to a city, and there's been such an emphasis in the past couple of years on well-being and mental health and things like that, and I just think that art has the potential to really add so much to that experience of everyday life, that moments of reflection, of a small moment of just mindfulness and meditation that art can kind of offer, because you stop and you look and you think about how they created it, what they're doing, what was going through their mind, and you're just in that moment for a bit. And I think that's something that's so important in our cities need more of.
It's a sense of awe, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's a sense of variety, so that you're moving around and you're noticing new things, and your kind of like senses are sparked or challenged. And yeah. Would you guys agree that everybody sees value in art, but they either don't know how to seek it out, they don't know how to nurture it, they don't know how to make it happen?
Yeah, and I think a major thing I've noticed is everyone goes, oh, you're an art consultant. Oh, do you know this artist, or oh, you're this famous gallery and everything? I'm like, no, like it's more, it's, I just see the value in art and culture. That's what, just realizing that passion. Everyone has it. You don't have to be, you know, big art snob to, like, you know, be and enjoy art. And I think people get scared because
yes,
they're like,
correct. Yeah,
I don't know enough. So like, oh no, I don't know this artist, or I don't know how to speak about it. It's not about that. It's about the experience you have while you are witnessing art and just the joy of it. That's what it's all about.
I also think that there's a certain threshold that people think that they need to have in order to, like, have an opinion on art, like I need to have X amount of knowledge on it. But sometimes it really does come down to opinion. Like, I just like this artist because. And but do you know what I've realized? People always relate to the story behind the artwork or the artist. I think, you know, I used to be really familiar with the street art around Sydney, and I've also traveled, like, major cities around the world and seek out art all around the world, just in street art or, you know, galleries and such. But the trail that carries me through is always, I want to go and see the piece, but I also want to know who made it. Like, it's this thing, and I will travel to, you know, I've been to Belgrade in Serbia to see the mural of a street artist that I love, who I also saw in Berlin, and I will travel to go and see their work because I'm invested in the story and I want to know more and I want to see their work. And so people, you know, I'm not a street artist, but I have an interest in how, what it can do for a city, and that's the thing that carries me through to go and want to see it. So you don't have to have like a certain level of education or anything to be involved. You just have to be interested.
Mm, yeah. That's right, the creative pioneer. Because if you actually sit down, and when I do a lot of, I suppose I'll get a lot of people together in organisations and ask them questions like, you know, put up your hand who sends their children to, you know, art school or theatre or drawing. A lot of people put up their hands, and, you know, or sometimes there's a lot of secret people in the room, like that they're doing like live drawings. Like it's really interesting. And
everyone, but everyone's interested in it. Everyone sees the value in it. Everyone loves it. They just don't always know how to get involved, or
And why do you think that is? Because I think the education through our system, I can't tell you how many people I've interviewed and I'm like, why are you interested in this role? And they're like, oh, I loved art when I was younger, and now I've been in this corporate job I hate it, and I'm trying to come onto the other, you know. And I'm like, it's because the way that we were brought up is we told that you shouldn't do this because you won't earn a career. And I've heard that so many times and I still hear it. And I call them closet artists. I mean, they're everywhere, basically. They really are. And it's quite, that's what I say about the whole art thing, is that their souls, is because it's not, you know, to be a professional artist this day is actually really, really tough to you to have that commitment to be there and to say, right, I'm going to do this, I'm not doing anything else. And once you get over that, I think there's a cycle in it. And I've seen a lot of artists, you know, starting out in the cycle and how they move through. And then they, you know, some artists start out and then they don't go anywhere. You know, it's just too hard. I mean, you do have to have a certain personality to do that. But I think it is also education, and how, and following passion. And maybe after COVID, with the well-being and people finding their own selves, I think that will also pursue that as well.
Yeah, everyone was in lockdown and doing painting sessions and things like that.
From the perspective of an artist, how do you think that they, what value do you think they draw from working with a consultant? Like, what value do you feel you give to artists?
I think that's a great question. Oh, so much. I mean, being in between the artist, I think, especially with, it depends on who you're working with, who the client is. And obviously I mentioned the marriage, the boyfriend, the Flynn client. It depends on who we're working with and if they're new clients. So we can shield them from that, and we're always really honest from the beginning. And also the tire kickers. Like, we have a lot of people that will get the artist to come in, you know, 6 or 7 times for their time, put concerts together, and then the job goes nowhere. So we are really clear about how we work with our clients and when we have to charge and how we charge out. So I think it's the protection for the artist as well. We work with incredible people. We've got really good reviews. We always ask everyone to do a review online of what we do. I think for them it's the support and and also they can create. They don't have to get caught up with the contracts and the bureaucracy of it. Like, sometimes you get caught up with some of these committees, and there can be actually sometimes 2 committees going on, and we won't tell the artist this is going on. We're like, you have to deliver this by this. Yep, we like this. And they're just like, great. But in behind the scenes, they don't understand that there's actually been contacting 4 or 5 different people. We've had like 5 meetings. Yeah, it's, you know, about this. So, yeah, it's shielding. And they can just be sitting in their studio making work.
Yeah, okay. So I was going to ask, if an artist was trying to find jobs on their own, these are the things that they wouldn't have to do, because you kind of take care of them, and your experience and your kind of the way that your business is structured, you take all these things away from the artist so that they can focus on what they want to be doing instead of having to go doing all of this work and not having a place for it to go. You're kind of out there looking for the placement for all the jobs and the projects for them, and then they continue to be like doing what they're passionate about and doing.
Taking away the pain.
I think Amelia has called it that we're creative translators, and I really love that term because it is definitely like that. And for artists as well, and I think for the clients too, what our processes that we use just mitigate risks of everything. Like, we've got a clear sort of process, and it makes sure that the curatorial direction heads in the right way, the artist knows what's, you know, what they've got a solid brief, and the client knows what they're expecting. It just works. We are those creative translators. We're the broker between the artist and the client, essentially. And it works so well for the artist because they, as we've mentioned, don't have to sort of worry about us, but also the client because they don't have to. We've got a tried and tested process that works, and you're going to get what you really want.
So you take the business side away and you kind of look after that. So, like, let's say an independent artist wants to make a piece of art and they want to find a client, either they want to install it somewhere or they want to be paid to be commissioned for something. You would be taking away the business side of it, managing that. And you would also be the person, you would also be fine. You know, you've mentioned your sort of marriage clients. What that means is you've got strong relationships with clients and you've got like constant projects that are coming through your inbox. And then you go and you find your artists.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And with, for the artists as well, depending on what they're doing, we will work with their up-to-date work. So we'll put that into a presentation, and that's all they need to do. And then we're giving the client on the other side, you know, a couple of different options. We get to know the artist really well, and we speak to them, and we let them know this is what we're doing. We always go back to the artist and say, look, this didn't work out. You know, so it works on both sides, and the relationship's built from there. And we've been going for nearly 10 years now, so we know a lot of artists, you know, in all around Australia, really, nationally.
One question I'd love to ask you, Emilio, is actually, what's the highlight, do you think, of your art consultancy career, your favourite project?
Oh, well, there's been quite a few, actually. I think Deloitte down in Melbourne, that delivery, that was in COVID, actually, and we all worked with Melbourne artists. That was a really great outcome, and we did murals all throughout their floors, so brand new. That was really quite fabulous. I think my book, actually, that's something that I never thought I would do, so that's not really a project, but it's something I'm really sort of proud of, and I've got a second one coming out, just that educational side, and that's why we're doing the podcast, is to really educate people about art, culture, and, you know, NFTs. What's my favourite project? There's been so many of them. I mean, really, we've done like the family community services with photographers all around regional Australia that went travelling all around Australia, which is at Parliament House. That was a really fun project, and work with photographers. We've worked in, the great thing is that I worked in hospitality. We've done the Sofitel Hotel, which was really interesting. They're always hard doing hotels, actually. It's a lot more procurement, I guess. But that was interesting. I love the process of how to work, because it's so challenging, and I love a bit of a challenge, just a mentally challenge, and how you can put, I mean, I haven't done a yacht. I'd love to do a yacht. We saw that the other day. I was like, I'd like to do an art yacht, actually. I had this idea of, like, you know, you have the Airbnbs, but what about a yacht for art? And I saw them overseas. I was like, so I'm calling that in. I'm calling that job in.
Claire, can I ask you, what's your favorite part of the process of an art project?
That's tricky. I personally love putting together the narratives and curatorial directions, just because I love sort of investigating all the different parts of the project, the history of the site or the client, and then also mixing it with what they're sort of trying to achieve and the objectives of the project itself and the art, and then putting it together into a concise sort of narrative that an artist can just use as a springboard, and going from there, being like, okay, we've got this narrative, brought it together, and then seeing what kind of spits out, the artist spit out the other side, is so exciting. And when you sort of, and you go along that process with them, and you've gone from the narrative and then to the concept stage, and then when, you know, it's all getting developed, you're like, wow, that just started off with, like, you know, a narrative that could have been as easy as, like, surprise and delight or something like that. And it's just like, what can an artist do with that? I think, like, part of, like, the really exciting part of the work that we do.
All right, I'm going to ask you guys both a question. I would like to know who your favourite artist is right now and why.
I can go first. Jasmine Mansbridge, who I've just bought a work she put into the Suleiman, and it's so big. I've got it delivered out there. I have it's just
so
big.
Big.
It is so huge. I don't think I've even got a wall. So I'm a little bit concerned about that. And my husband's like, where is that going to go? And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't realize. I sort of knew how big it was, but didn't really realize. And where I'm off to New York with Jasmine, and she does NFTs, and we always have these great chats about NFTs. And she's another female, and she's a mom. And I love that. That's who, I've been enjoying. And there's so many of them though. I can't, you know, I feel like so I have, it's like, yeah, it's like, you know, choose your favorite child.
All right, and go.
Yeah, it is so tricky. And I think mine changes like every week as well. But, at the moment, my favorite artist is Francesca Owen. She's a photography artist and works a lot, used to be a synchronized swimmer actually, and, works a lot with, figures in water. And I think they're just absolutely beautiful. And I think she, as you know, takes her photography and her experience together, having sort of have such a connection to water and the ocean. You can just see it in the work she creates. And I think it's so exciting. And my background, I came from a photography gallery, so I've got a bit of a soft spot for photography art. So I'm particularly loving her works at the moment.
Well, thank you so much. That is the end of episode 2. Thanks for tuning in. Subscribe to our podcast to keep listening to important conversations we're having about art. Follow our Instagram and see who we're chatting to next.